Alexa, start vSphere Control Center.
vSphere Control Center is online.
Report vSAN version.
Virtual SAN is running version 6.6.0.
Oh, not bad.
You are not too shabby yourself, William.
Thank you.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 73. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and John is out this week, so joining me as co-host is...
the esteemed Glenn Sizemore.
Glenn, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Pete.
Old times, buddy. We used to co-host a podcast together a long time ago.
Yeah, we're just going to pretend that this is, 2014.
That would suck because then we wouldn't be able to talk about the cool stuff we're going to talk about today, like VMware Cloud on AWS.
That is very true.
But before we do that, John's out again. And so every time John's out, we like to play a little game here.
Where in the world? Where in the world?
John Nicholson.
It's the global mystery. You got to watch and see.
I am profoundly dumbfounded.
All right, for those of you who have listened when John was out before, you know the drill. Every once in a while, John just suddenly disappears. He's MIA, probably out somewhere in a bar or maybe even an office, nerding out about vSAN. But he likes to send clips, little hints about where he might be. And so this week, here's your hint. If you know where he's at, send me an email at podcast@vmware.com and I'll make it worth your while.
Hey, Pete, remember the BrewDog pub in Barcelona? Like, that was such a great little place. It was delicious food. Apparently, there's a flagship here in the U.S. It's a great place to hang out and watch some local basketball games.
Local basketball, BrewDog. Okay, that's a good hint. All right, so let's do this. The first three people that send the correct answer to podcast@vmware.com will get you a little virtually speaking podcast swag bag. Yeah. And if you haven't been to the BrewDog pub in Barcelona, I highly recommend it. Pretty cool place.
What I just learned is I need to schedule better business trips.
Fair point. So Glenn, you recently joined VMware. You're on the VMware Cloud on AWS team over here at the Storage and Availability Business Unit. But you're bringing some friends with you today, some guys from the VMware Cloud team. So why don't you do me a favor and introduce these guys?
Yeah, sure. So, one of the things that's really cool about the VMware Cloud on Amazon Web Services solution is that it really is a superset of all of VMware. And the tech marketing team that helps support and promote the product spans the entire company. So
yep.
I had to actually reach out. We had a couple of conflicts. We couldn't get everybody who is part of the core team on today, but we were able to get some rock stars. So we brought in our good friend GS Khalsa to help clue us in on some of the latest additions from the availability side of the house.
Oh yeah. GS, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you, Pete?
Very good.
And then we were very fortunate. We were able to steal an hour of Kyle Ruddy's time to come clue us in on all things automation and APIs inside AWS.
Yes.
How you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing fantastic.
Hey, Kyle, real quick. So yeah, I know this VMware Cloud on AWS team is big and growing, but I know you better as a guy that focuses on automation and Power CLI. So what's with the switch?
Well, it's divide up and conquer. the new service here has got some automation tricks up its sleeve too.
Oh yeah.
And, I'm just here to help enable that.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we're definitely looking forward to hearing that. So Glenn, the reason I wanted to get you guys on this week especially is because I've known for a couple of weeks that there was going to be a big announce this week, some updates to the offering, the VMware Cloud on AWS offering. I don't know yet what all those announcements are. So I want to walk through a couple of those, but I guess the first place to start is it's not a product, VMware Cloud on AWS. So what do we call this offering? What is it?
Yeah, that's a good question. My personal take on this is the way to think about VMware Cloud on Amazon Web Services is that it is a hosted private cloud managed service that is delivered by VMware, right? So this is the same VMware vSphere product portfolio that our entire customer base is familiar with. It's the same runtime and API compatibility that everybody knows and loves. The thing that we've changed is who's in the driver's seat from the primary vSphere administration perspective, right? VMware taking an ownership stake there, stepping in and saying, we're going to actually run this on your behalf. And then the second thing that's changed is the actual hardware that we're using. Instead of our traditional ISV OEM hardware that we're used to, this service is actually running inside Amazon on Amazon hardware. So, you know, those are kind of the two main distinctions, or the elevator pitch, if you will.
Yeah.
But because this is a managed service, it's not a product, right? Like, we use all of VMware's portfolio, and we're going to talk to a lot of that today, some of the new products that have either been enhanced or introduced newly. But when a customer comes into VMware Cloud on Amazon Web Services, what they're doing is they're buying a result, right? You're subscribing to the ability to host X amount of virtual machines and store Y amount of data. And it is VMware operations responsibility to go ahead and just make that so and to keep it that way. And the specific versions of software that are involved in the service, honestly, they're near constantly changing because it's being actively managed and actively developed on. That's why we have these, you know, quarterly announced platforms, if you will, which is really what happened a couple of days ago when we had our big cloud launch on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That was a roll-up announcement of a bunch of work that's been happening across the company, across BUs. And it's just to make it a little bit easier for customers. You know, if we were to release this stuff real time, then, you know, consuming this from a customer perspective and wrapping your head around, you know, what's new and the new capabilities and the changes that would be made, that's kind of like a full-time job, right? Most customers don't need that. They just need the service to work and be dependable. So that's the way that I kind of think about it.
Yeah, I like that logic. Cool. All right. So speaking of the announcements, I know that we will definitely leave links to all of the announcements on the show notes of the podcast. But GS, give me a couple of them. What are some of the announcements that came out this week?
Yeah, so a few of the things that were added this week. One of the big ones is we added a new region. So we've added London in Europe as our new region. So that's adding, in addition to US West in Oregon and US East in Virginia. And then another interesting one is we added as a tech preview, so it's not fully available just yet, but available as a tech preview, is availability zone failure protection using vSAN stretch clustering. And so if customers are familiar at all with stretch clustering, this is taking that functionality and adding it to Amazon's availability zone concept. So nice. You have the two parts of that stretch cluster operating in the two AZs within the Amazon region.
Okay, well, first things first, you said it was London and Europe. And I love that because I don't know if that was a Freudian slip on Brexit or if there was some real meaning for differentiating those two.
I think even with Brexit, I think technically, England is still part of Europe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. There might be some arguments about that. I don't know.
I didn't know if you had new news for me. But secondly, I love Stretch Cluster, always have. And I love the fact that vSAN has been doing Stretch Cluster. It's really exciting that it's happening at VMware Cloud on AWS. So if somebody's considering a Stretch Cluster solution on VMware Cloud on AWS, we don't have to dive into the entire thing. But what does that look like? Is it everything on AWS? Do we stretch across other cloud providers? What's the pitch?
Yeah, so everything's within AWS. The two halves of your stretch cluster would just be placed into two availability zones within the same region of Amazon.
Yeah, that makes more sense because most stretch clusters are, you know, there's like a distance limitation. It's not the same thing as doing like a DR, but it's having that high availability through a stretch cluster solution, but inside of Amazon. I like that.
Yeah, and one of the cool things with this too is if you wanted to, you can combine that with VMware Site Recovery, the disaster recovery as a solution service on top of VMware Cloud on AWS, and build yourself a ridiculously resilient solution. So you could have your stretch cluster in one region failed over to another region or failed over to your on-prem environment, kind of whatever works.
So as GS said, right, this is really building on and really leaning into how Amazon's global infrastructure is architected, right? When you look at Amazon, an Amazon region is broken down into availability zones, and those availability zones are designed to fail as an entity, right? If there's going to be a failure inside Amazon's infrastructure, it will happen inside an AZ. So with multi-site clustering giving us the ability to use vSphere HA to remediate availability zone level failures, it's it's honestly a level of availability. I wish I had a different word for it at this point, but it's a level of availability that isn't possible in Amazon. It's just a completely different animal. It's traditional enterprise type controls in a true public cloud infrastructure. I agree with Jess. I think it's going to be super cool. And when you layer it on top of DR as a service, it's going to really open the doors for a lot of customers who are perhaps hesitant in getting all in, particularly with Amazon.
Cool. All right. I like it. So London, now still part of the EU, is a new location for us. We've got clustering. We've got failure protection using stretch clustering. I think that's going to be pretty popular. What else do we have?
Another thing that we announced a couple of days ago, and actually has been the majority of my work since I joined here at VMware, is that we have turned on deduplication and compression for all SDDCs deployed inside VMware Cloud on AWS.
It's about time.
Yeah. Then there are definitely customers who said that, right? One of the questions that we get is, why the wait? You know, why didn't you turn this on initially? Because when the service was initially launched, of course, vSAN already had deduplication and compression under its belt as a capability that could be levered. The problem, though, is, you know, again, this is a results-based consumption service. So when a customer comes in the front door, they're not asking for knobs to manage and for a million different options. They're asking, you know, how much it's going to cost per hour to run each individual step increment of infrastructure. And then they're expecting a result. And we needed to make sure that when we turned on deduplication and compression, since this was a service and customers aren't, they don't have the flexibility to go in and say, oh, you know what, I think I'm going to turn this off. Right? It's not a control that is exposed to them at all. We needed to go ahead and make sure that this is something that was going to work for everyone. And that meant testing it on the actual hardware that we're using the actual code, putting it through some torture tests, that the edge cases where it can put some pretty extreme work in there, and then just making sure that we were comfortable with the results that we got. And fortunately, because of how deduplication and compression have been architected in vSAN, because it is just streamlined in between the cache and capacity tiers, and we're able to opportunistically leverage those free CPU cycles to gain additional capacity, we were able to go ahead and make that change on all SDDCs.
Okay. So this is not like traditional vSAN. I'll go in and I'll change at a cluster level. I can enable and disable dedupe as I desire inside of my own vSAN cluster. This is different. This is a service. Is it offered to everybody, or do you opt in and say, I choose to have deduplication and compression?
Great question. Today, the only configuration option you get when you sign up to create a SDDC inside VMware Cloud on AWS is how many nodes you would like in your cluster. There's only one type of node currently offered in the catalog. So the only configuration item is how many of those nodes you would like. Everything else is managed and wrapped in the service itself. And it is VMware support and VMware operations responsibility to make sure that configuration and all of the settings are optimized and aligned for all of our customers. And something like deduplication and compression absolutely falls into that bucket where VMware Ops is in the driver's seat. So this was the managed service element inside VMware taking a look at the feature coming from the product team and saying, are we comfortable bringing this feature into our service? And again, as I said, they were able to prove and build that confidence in their testing. But no, it's not something where a customer can opt out, and there isn't different flavors. The only thing you tell us is how many nodes you'd like.
Okay, so essentially it sounds to me like the infrastructure team that is doing the service work here, that's providing this service, is leveraging the technology of deduplication and compression that is already inside of vSAN, but they're using that to provide value to the VMware Cloud on AWS customers. Is that the way I'm hearing it right?
Yep. Yeah, bingo. That's exactly the way to think about it. A simplified kind of consumption, if you really want to make this easy, assuming we were using a single failure RAID 5 erasure coding policy for all virtual machines that were going to be stored inside the SDDC, every host that we add inside a VMware Cloud on AWS cluster gives us an additional 5.6 terabytes of usable capacity. With this past week, when turning on deduplication and compression, we anticipate that same host is going to give us somewhere between 7 and 8 terabytes of usable capacity, depending on the types of workloads that are stored therein. So, this is honestly the trickier part of this equation, because traditional on-premises customers, they're used to this concept of turn it on, see what you get. If you're not saving a ton of space, turn it back off if you want to, or just leave it on. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But But in a cloud service where, especially a cloud service that's using an HCI-like composable infrastructure, determining how much storage you need, that can get kind of tricky, right? And projecting how much capacity we're going to save with deduplication and compression, that's even trickier. Because, you know, as you know, Pete, there are some workloads that just don't dedupe and/or compress at all.
Of course.
There are other workloads that are super, super susceptible to deduplication and compression. We can get upwards of 7-10 times effective capacity. Without getting too specific, we've just kind of simplified this for customers and said, on average, anticipate you're going to double your capacity.
Okay. So
your mileage may vary. If you're at one of those extreme ends, you may get way more than that. You may get slightly less than that. But on average, we're saying you're going to double your capacity. And by doubling your capacity, we're going to save you about 40% of your total storage cost when you deploy inside VMware Cloud on AWS. So this is about giving customers the ability to do more with what they already have.
Okay. So I like going to the grocery store and I like using my like rewards programs and I'll pay for all my stuff and I'll put in my rewards card and it'll say, hey, Pete, you saved $10 today. So is there any way with VMware Cloud on AWS that it says, hey, since we've got this deduplication and compression, you're saving this much capacity? Is there anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. The VMC console does not expose that directly, but this is still vSphere and Virtual Center is the management plane for VMware Cloud on AWS. And the same reporting and roll-up dashboards that we have in Virtual Center on-premises are applicable in VMware Cloud on AWS. And with hybrid link mode, accessing that information is super easy, regardless of which environment you're connected into. It's either a simple click of the mouse button inside vCenter to pull that information out, or if you want to get into it, you can contact my friend Kyle and he'll help you do it through the API. But either way, that information is absolutely available.
Oh yeah, something tells me Kyle's got some tricks up his sleeve to share with us. That's going to make that really shiny.
Absolutely.
Well, that's as good a transition as any. Kyle, so tell me, I know you've been focusing a lot on automation in general, lots of Power CLI work. And a quick plug, if you're not following Kyle on his blog, thatcouldbeaproblem.com, you should be, because there's a lot of really cool stuff on there, especially when it comes to Power CLI. But Kyle, what's the automation?
And the name is hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it probably is a problem, but thatcouldbeaproblem.com is perfect. Yeah. So what's the spin, man? What's the automation enhancements that we need to know about today?
Oh, man. One of the biggest things that came about with this new release is the addition of something that's called the Developer Center. So right directly in the VMware Cloud on AWS console, you know, right across the top, you're going to see your SDDCs, your subscriptions, your activity logs. And then brand new is going to be a tab called Developer Center. So if you're logged in, you can click on that. You can get an overview of what's contained in this area. You can continue on to the API Explorer, which, you know, Swagger-based UI. So everybody's, you know, generally pretty familiar with it if you've accessed RESTful APIs through a Swagger interface before. You know, very similar experience. You can start browsing through, exploring, and then even start interacting. Now, one of the really cool things about this API Explorer being internal to the console itself here is that it automatically takes and uses your OAuth token. So you're automatically authenticated. And then because you're already in your own org, it's also going to start pre-filling in some of the parameters, like your org ID. So you don't have to go through and try and figure out what it is. You know, you can get up and running extremely easily. So I think that's one of the, you know, it's the most amazing thing as far as getting started with the RESTful APIs for the VMware Cloud on AWS service.
Yeah.
But then there's also a couple other things that have been added in there that are pretty cool. So there's stuff like code samples. So you have easy access to the Postman collection for VMware Cloud on AWS. You can just download that, import it into your Postman RESTful client, get up and running. There's a couple Power CLI scripts. There's even the community-based VMware Cloud on AWS module that's out there and available. We've got some Python scripts. We've got some Java samples. I mean, it's pretty all-encompassing as far as that goes. And then we also have access to the SDKs and even easy access to downloading Power CLI, you know, for those crazy people who don't actually have that installed yet.
Yeah. What is going on in 2018? I mean, it seems like Power CLI is not slowing down. I mean, support for Mac and Windows, new version, Power CLI 10, which we need to have you on for a whole episode just on that. All this on VMware Cloud on AWS, support for Python. We need to slow down here for a minute.
Slow down. We're just beginning here. I mean, this is pretty crazy. We're really getting to the point where, you know, for a long time we've said that we're API first, but now we're actually proving it. And we're showing how much that we're really embracing the developers and trying to make it easier for them to get up and running and, you know, just really to being able to automate all the things.
Any support for Alexa? Can I just be like, Alexa, build me an SDDC? No?
Actually, we do have a working example of that. So it's out there on one of the community repos, and it does work. It's pretty fantastic. That's something that we're still vetting and will definitely be added into the code samples, but it's working. It's crazy. It's pretty amazing.
For the person that wants that, shame on you, first of all, because that sounds really scary. I'm afraid to order anything off Alexa at my house. I don't know why anybody would want to deploy an SDDC, but anyway.
Hey, just because you can.
Yeah,
we've also got them set up on the AWS clicker buttons as well. So I'll set it right up on a dash button where you can either say, hey, I want to deploy an SDDC, or I can use this other button. Click that and I can add a host to my cluster and expand out my resources on there. Pretty much, if you can think of it, it's pretty much possible.
What are some of the more common tasks that you can do in the REST API interface? Is there a list of, you said you had some examples. What's in the repository?
Yeah, so in the repository, a lot of what's in there right now is things around networking. So creating, removing, and configuring your logical networks, which, you know, on the VMware Cloud on AWS service, that's essentially all your port groups when you're in the vCenter side.
Yeah.
Then there's also the ability to add in things like firewall rules, export, import, you know, so your management of your firewall rules too. That's a lot of what most customers are starting to dig in on and, you know, start using the most. So we're getting a ton of feedback on that stuff.
Yeah, I thought all that was uncontrollable. I just assumed that it was more of like that was already handled for you. But you're telling me that you've got a little bit more flexibility into how the networking looks if you're using VMware Cloud on AWS?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I want to have access from a system that's running within my vCenter server there, I can set up a firewall rule within the VMware Cloud on AWS service and say, hey, I want this port to be open. I want it to be NATed in this direction to a public IP that's within Amazon space, you know, pretty much anything that you can do on-prem, that's really what we're getting to with this service.
Ah, I see what you're saying. That makes sense.
Yeah, the only clarification point I would make there, Pete, is we do lock down all the host side stuff. So like VM kernel interfaces and all of the network configuration that vSphere uses for things like vSAN communication, all of that is controlled. But the customer NSX logical network, that's fair game.
Oh, yeah. If that was
correct,
if you could control that, you would definitely be asking for a lot of support calls.
Yeah, and you'll see it when you're in the interface. There's two different areas. So you have a compute and you have a management. And the management stuff you can see, but you can't modify. And it's the same thing when you're on the vCenter server. You're going to see those systems that are on the management side, like your vCenter, your vCSA. You're going to see things like your NSX edges. You know, you see them, but you can't control them. You can't open up the console windows to access those. You can't power cycle them, things like that. But you still know they're there.
I like it.
And then Pete, you know, you kind of mentioned earlier that, you know, a lot of the things that I've been doing is around PowerCLI for vCenter.
Yep.
And that's kind of one of those things that, you know, people are, at least from the folks that I'm talking to, they kind of overlook that it's still vCenter that's at that management plane. And even Glenn was getting into that a little bit earlier. Now, one of the really big things that came along in this release is vMotion. So, you know, this was something that was announced as a tech preview at the last quarterly release, but it's actually supported now. So you can move your workloads directly from your on-prem vCenters to your SDDC-based vCenters. So that's a pretty crazy ability to be able to do. And, you know, because I'm the automation guy, you know, the first way to get that working was absolutely with PowerCLI.
Oh, wow. Okay, so now you can migrate workloads onto VMware Cloud on AWS using vMotion and you can automate it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the other cool things with that feature is since we're dealing with vMotioning VMs into VMware Cloud on AWS, one of the requirements of vMotioning a VM is giving you consistency from a networking layer. So you're going to want to, you know, not going to be able to change the IP address of a VM as you move it. So we've also brought the layer 2 VPN feature out of tech preview. So that's a generally available feature. And in addition to that enabling vMotion, the other thing that's cool with that is it allows, if you're using the disaster recovery as a service solution, VMware Site Recovery, it's going to give you the ability to move your VMs from on-prem to VMware Cloud without having to change IP addresses as part of that process.
Oh, that's very big. Yeah, because in SRM, I mean, if you have to change all that, that is a nightmare having to try and reconfigure that. So, that's huge.
Yeah, I'm fairly bullish that VMware Cloud on AWS is in a league by itself at this point in time. There isn't anything like it in the market, particularly when we take a look at the composability of the service as quickly and as easily as new customers can get onboarded. When we look at the ease of moving workloads into and out of the service, as I said, it's in a league by itself.
Now I see why the team is growing so big. It seems like the services that are being offered are coming pretty frequently, man. What is the release cycle that you guys are starting to? Is there a release cycle for releasing these updates that you guys keep adding?
So that's an interesting one. You almost need to go feature by feature. The real truth here is, you know, since this is a managed service, we are actually constantly releasing.
Yeah.
There are internal channels where you can just watch, and every couple of days there's a new production push where a small little feature will be updated or a small little capability will be turned on. We really just wait until we get to these quarterly touch points to announce everything all at once. And that's really for the benefit of our customers so that they don't have to keep up with this constantly at the rate at which we're developing the solution, but we never stop.
Nice. You guys probably have like 12 different VMworld sessions that you're submitting just for VMware Cloud on AWS, I'm guessing. So I think this is the final week for VMworld submission. So what are you guys thinking? Any topics around VMware Cloud on AWS that you think might have some appeal?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've got some great ones. Yeah, I think my I'll just give a teaser of the title for one of them. The title is Zero to DR in About an Hour.
I like that. I like that. Kyle, you got any sessions that you're submitting?
Yeah, I'm submitting a ton of sessions. Hopefully I don't have as many as I did last year, but certainly we're going to have some on, you know, completely automating the entire deployment of an SDDC, you know, going from absolutely nothing to an accessible vCenter server and maybe even having some services up and running. And, you know, hopefully all things go well. It'll even be a live demo.
Ooh, I like it. I like live demos.
We'll do it live!
Sweet. I'm looking forward to it. Well, man, it seems like there are, like you said, this is not an individual product release, so it's not like there's a cadence, but it seems like the updates are coming very frequently, from new locations to storage features to automation to networking support, vMotion. It seems like there's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm going to aggregate as many of these updates as I can and leave them on the show notes of the podcast with links to hopefully public voting for the VMworld sessions for you guys, which I think will be pretty awesome. And what am I missing? What else do we want to cover on this VMware Cloud on AWS announcements episode, Glenn?
Yeah, so there's a couple more things that were announced on Wednesday that we would be criminal if we didn't mention. Because VMware Cloud on AWS is this whole new paradigm, because it is the ability to just consume vSphere and run workload without having to actually get involved in the virtualization core of the infrastructure, we've also created a series of tools that are aimed more at that consumption-based use case. So inside VMware Cloud on AWS, there's some integrated services. Some of them were available before, but we have since enhanced. For instance, Cost Insight is a tool that can be utilized to help predetermine exactly how much VMware Cloud on AWS infrastructure would be required and can help estimate exactly how much that would cost from a raw dollars perspective. So if you have an existing vSphere on-premises deployment and you're interested in potentially rehosting or moving a portion of it, we do have tools right inside the solution that can help you determine exactly what you'd be looking at. Another tool along those lines is a product called Network Insight, which is useful for those migration use cases. It basically can scan your existing virtualization infrastructure and will help find services that are interdependent. So it will discover those network connections, the database that talks to the app tier and the app tier that talks to the backend web service. It will discover those connections so that you can move your workload all at once, you know, so you don't move the database up into the cloud and leave the web server on premises and have this long haul circuit for all your communication, that sort of problem.
Yeah.
And then finally, another one that is new to me, I didn't know about this, is a really neat product called Log Insight, which basically is a log aggregation platform with some really cool machine learning and business intelligence that helps surface the information that is most important to you. It, of course, is a platform that can be extended and utilized for your own custom applications, but the team has gone ahead and pre-staged some pretty interesting dashboards around SDDC management and some key use cases like Oracle. So as we said, VMware Cloud on AWS covers the entirety of the company. You won't find a team somewhere that doesn't have a product or feature that we're leveraging in some aspect. Yeah. It's more than any one person can cover. But those are a couple of the tools that I knew off the top of my head that we should mention because they're really important from an operations perspective. And Log Insight in particular, I know is new.
Yeah, I like it. Man, you're right, Glenn. This is like, it's everywhere. It's like all the different BUs for VMware have a piece of this VMware Cloud on AWS. It's hard to really even, because it's not tied to an individual product, it's almost hard to even track the amount of updates and features. I even saw on AWS's website, they actually had their roadmap on VMware Cloud on AWS's website, which is unheard of for most products. But Kyle, tell me about the roadmap for VMware Cloud on AWS and how people can see it.
Yeah, so this is kind of unprecedented as far as things that VMware has ever done. You know, we're being extremely transparent about what we're working on, what's already available, and even the things that we're planning on doing in the future. Normally, we kind of have our hands a little tied on these type of deals, but for this service, we can be totally transparent. So if you go out to the page, and that'll be included in the show notes, you can filter each one of these features based on whether or not it's available, it's in tech preview, it's developing, or it's in planning stages. And you know, this is everything from enabling encryption on vSAN to paying by a credit card to having CloudFormation integration, which is something that I'm working on and I'm pretty excited about. But you know, across the board, it's not just for VMware things, it's for partners, it's for features and tidbits that are inside the vCenter itself. You know, it's really great. And I think it's, you know, taking us to a new level as far as, you know, being open about the things that we're working on and trying to deliver.
Okay, I got
to
try that. So I can literally filter by what's there now. I can filter by what's on preview, what people are developing, and what's actually being planned.
Yes, wow. Absolutely.
They need to do that for all software. I think that would be awesome. No?
Personally, I'm a big fan. You know, I'm big on the open source side as well. Love, you know, embracing that. And that's something that we're bringing, you know, which you'll see even with the SDKs that work with this service. You know, use the issues on the GitHub repo. You know, we'll tell you what we're working on. Complete transparency. It's pretty fantastic. And I do hope that this is contagious and it spreads within other areas.
Nice. Well, GS, in the spirit of being fully open on roadmap, why don't you share some roadmap features for Site Recovery Manager?
Yeah, here are a few features for Site Recovery Manager. So there is the...
You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
And then there's also this other really cool thing that's... those are some of the new ones that we've got for Site Recovery Manager. Hope everybody enjoys those.
Nice.
If John were here, he would be telling us that we can thank the SEC for GS's obtuseness.
Yes.
I am profoundly dumbfounded.
Yes, you are, John. You're always profoundly dumbfounded. All righty. Well, guys, man, that's like drinking water from a fire hose. That is good stuff. Again, I will aggregate the links for all the updates on the show notes of this podcast to include that roadmap page, which seems to be pretty fancy. And Kyle, thank you for coming on for your first time. GS, thanks for coming back. Glenn, thank you for sort of co-hosting this week. Gentlemen, anything before we go?
Bye for now.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to be here.
All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to the whole VMware Cloud on AWS team. Thanks, Glenn, for co-hosting. We'll see you next week. But until then, bye for now.
VMware Cloud on AWS, the best of both worlds.
Pat is right.
Oh, yeah.
Called in GS Khaleesi?
Khalsa. It's Khalsa.
Khalsa. Sorry about that. So we called in. Yeah. As he's laughing hysterically at me, his name up.
Okay. I hadn't heard that one before. That's thanks.
Halfway through that, I Game of Thrones your name. It happens.
Shame.